it's about is that all of us, many times, all of us are one decision away from tipping the scale and either going up to a good place, having God move in our life, just things line up in our life, or sometimes we are one decision away to tipping the scale and going over the edge. And how many of you want to go up and set it down? I am smarter than a fifth grader. Chink! I want to go up, all right? So the whole series is looking at areas in our life and finding the tipping point that we go up. That's all it is. And I'm going to throw topics at you. Last week we spoke about wisdom. I had so much fun. So if you missed it, go online. You can listen to it for free or sign up and get a free CD. So, alrighty. How many of you were alive in the 90s? Yeah, you're all here. How many of you remember the magic eye? The magic eye. They're going to pop one up on the screen. The magic eye. Okay, one of my kids got, do you remember the book club, the little Arrow book club or whatever? My kids bought one of these. And I would sit there like, what? You know, so the magic eye are these beautiful designs most of the time. This is mine, but that's one of them. So they're these beautiful designs, and they don't really look like a picture. They're just colors, and you know, you thought you're psychedelic leftover from the 70s or something like that. Yeah, I grew up in the 70s. So anyway, the interesting thing about this, it was a big phenomenon. This was really big in the 70s. And what you're supposed to do is look at this picture, and there's a picture in the picture. There's a hidden picture in the picture. So I pulled one off. You're not going to be able to do this, but you're supposed to start with it up close. And stare and stare and stare and pull it out. Oh, I see it. Okay. So I had to practice this because, you know, it's your eyes thing, you know. But the neat thing why I do all of this is there's a picture hidden in the picture. And it's a 3D picture. And it's usually not too big. Sometimes it's a horse. This one, the one that I had, is a planet hiding behind there. But I will say there were like 6 directions on how to see it. And I had to get down to like direction number 6 till it finally kicked in. I'm like, whoa, I see it. So today we're going to talk about hidden pictures in our life. And I did not say hidden skeletons in your closet. We're going to talk about hidden pictures or things hiding in your life. Because, you know, most of us, all of us really, have some things that might be hiding. And what God wants to do is have you see what it is so you can tip the scale and go up. Tip the scale and go up. I can remember teenagers are lovely. And we have 4 kids, 2 years apart. We have a lot of teenagers and stuff. And it was a rough time in our marriage. Kids just bring out the best in your marriage. I'm telling you. So you work on it really hard until they hit teenagers. But I just kept falling in the pit, as I used to say. I keep falling in this pit. And I couldn't understand just, you know, in an area in our marriage. And as I was preparing this message, I'm like, oh my gosh, there was a hidden picture. I needed to see the hidden picture so I'd stop falling in the pit. All right, so, or better yet, I'd see it so I could tip the scale so I could go over. Praise the Lord. So we're going to talk about hidden pictures, and just to see if you might just happen to have a hidden picture, something going on in your life. I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Have you ever felt this way, or have you ever thought this? You ready? Number one, I can't see why my friendships are so unhealthy. You might have a little hidden thing going on, a little hidden picture, you know. All right, here's another one. I can't see why people don't want to be close to me. Just can't see. Can't see what's going on. You might have a hidden picture going on, right? Something hidden in your life that you don't know. All right, here's another one. I can't see why I lost my job, my third job in 3 years. I can't see why I'm losing my job, the third one in 3 years. Now, I do understand. We have economy, 2008, 2009, that was just beautiful. But, and sometimes companies are downsizing, right? All right, and they're merging, and then they might have layoffs. But if every year you are losing your job, and they're replacing you with somebody else, you might have a little hidden picture going on in your life that you can't see. All right, here's another one. I can't see why my marriage is falling apart. like, my kid just can't see. Well, you might have a hidden picture going on in your life, and it's going to be time to see it. Here's the last one. Oh, no, this one's a good one. I love this one. People, Pastor D, I just can't understand why I'm in debt. I can't figure out why I'm in debt. There's a hidden picture going on, okay? All righty, this one. Pastor D, I just can't see. I just feel like I'm so cold in my spiritual walk with the Lord. I just can't see why. I just feel so nothing. Well, there's a hidden picture, and please ask me. I love telling you. But anyway, so we're going to talk about hidden pictures. We're going to talk about hidden pictures, okay, so that we're going to be able to make a decision to see what's hidden so God can get us to up the hill. We're gonna look at some things that will be hidden, that are hidden. We want to see what's hidden so that we can see, so that we can make changes. Sometimes one change is all it is. Sometimes it's usually a lot of changes, all right? But we want to see the things that are hidden so we can change, so we can get into all the great things God has for our life. So how many of you think that's a good idea? All right, if you're smarter than a fifth grader, write this down. Here's the main idea, the big idea, the one thing I just want you to understand more clearly than you ever have before, that it just sticks to your gut, and it, by the way, it'll just change you. You ready? You're going to laugh. You can't see what you can't see. Main idea. You can't see what you can't see. Pastor D, what on tarnation are you talking about? Okay, you can't see what you can't see. Listen to what this means. Okay, ready? If you could see it, you'd see it. All right? But you can't see what you can't see. And the reason why you can't see what you can't see is because you can't see what you can't see because it's a blind spot. Now, if you knew what the blind spot was, ta-da, you could see it. But you can't see what you can't see. Y'all, sure, Pastor D. Listen, guys, this is a big revelation, and we got to get it. We have to see what we can't see so God can move in your life. And he's a good, good God. He loves you. He only has good things for your life. And he'll give you the strength to get through things, okay? But if you can't see what you can't see, you're going to be like me. I kept falling in the hole. And one day, I'll tell you how later on. Okay, so I have fun researching. Sometimes I just go Google blind spots. So, you know, this is what came up. Ready? Google blind spots. Do you know that every single one of us here have blind spots in our retina, in our eyes, in both of our eyes? All right, you know, all you faith people, I do not. Be quiet, listen. Every single one of us. I love when they, people. Okay. So even when both eyes are open, the one eye will compensate for the other. Your brain is just this amazing machine. It's so sophisticated that even though you have blind spots, it just kind of does this bling and it still sees. Okay, but they have this thing called the blind spot test. Now, if you were to Google it right now, I don't think it works on the small cell phones here. But I printed it off. They're going to pop it up. I printed it off. Yeah, actually, I made my own because I left mine at home. So this is the blind spot test. And what you do is you start out here and you cover one eye. And then you bring it in. Okay, bring it in. And all of a sudden, I start looking at this, but all of a sudden, this disappears. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's the blind spot. Go try it. Matter of fact, you could draw it on the back, but don't do it right now, okay? Don't do it right now. But listen, you can't see what you can't see until you can't see a blind spot, until you can see a blind spot, all right? And how many of you want to see the blind spots in your life? If you're like me, I keep falling in the hole. What the heck am I in the hole? Okay, I had a blind spot. I didn't see it. Awesome when you see it. So we want to be able to see the blind spots in our life so we can go and stop falling in the hole. It's really terrible trying to crawl out of it, okay? So here we go. We're going to start with the first person we're going to talk about. Super famous guy in the Bible, and he had a huge blind spot. Y'all know him. They've made movies, cartoons, and even sight and sound. okay? His name is Moses. And Moses had a huge blind spot. I was sitting there thinking, I am not so bad. You know, you love it when you see somebody worse than you. But Moses had this huge blind spot in his life, okay? And you know what it was? Pride. Pride was his huge blind spot in his life, a.k.a. slash he had a God complex going on. I'll explain later. But pride, and you know, the thing about that is God had to open his eyes. God had to open his eyes to see the blind spot. And it's interesting how he does it, and I'll tell you more about it. So I'm thinking about Moses, how could you have this blind spot? And then if you start looking at the history of Moses or just Moses' story, okay, the children of Israel had gone and they were living in Egypt for hundreds of years and then they became slaves, okay, in Egypt. And Pharaoh is not liking that the population of these Jewish people have just become millions. He doesn't like that. And they are flourishing and they are doing so. They're slaves. And then he comes up with this horrific idea. Let's kill all the baby boys. Because, you know, the seed is so important. That's a whole nother sermon. But so Pharaoh's going, let's kill all these baby boys. And then we have Moses's mom. Moses's mom has this baby and she is not liking the idea of killing her baby, them killing her baby, right? No, she's not liking that. So she builds this little ark basket boat for this baby, all right? So she builds this up. And the princess, Pharaoh's daughter, who's a princess, has had a baby who's died. Background on that. And the princess would go bathe. She didn't have a shower, so she'd go bathe in the river with all her ladies. And she sees this basket come by, and she probably... By then, little Moses is screaming or something like that. So she opens it up, and there's this baby. And she takes this baby to be hers. She adopts this baby. I love adoption, okay? She adopts this baby and raises this baby in the palace. You talk about privileged. Whoa! From what would have been a slave to living in the palace. So he lives in the palace. He's got the best education, highly educated. You could say he's just got this posh lifestyle. He becomes a brilliant man, a general, and all this stuff goes on. And okay, so that's what's going on. And you're sitting here thinking, he could probably have a little pride thing going on considering the way he was raised. He just might have a little pride going on. Later on, God gets hold of his life. And Moses is on the backside, and there's a whole neat story about that. He's on the backside of the desert. That means he's in the worst place in the worst place in the desert. And he has this encounter with God. How many of you know the story? It's this burning bush. Okay, and I'm pretty sure it's this huge bush. It starts burning, and what catches his attention, one, is it's burning, but two, it's not being consumed. Now, how many of you have fire pits in your yard? Okay, Jesse and I were just burning up some wood last week, and you know, it burns, and then it just kind of crumbles and crumbles, and we've got ashes all over the place. But not this burning bush, and this is like, whoa, this burning bush is burning and burning, but it's not being consumed. So that's a little odd, and then God starts talking to him out of this burning bush. Whoa! Okay, so I'm sitting here thinking, oh, man, that's kind of interesting. So Moses has this encounter with God, and the next thing God does is he sends Moses back to Pharaoh. And he says, I want you to talk to Pharaoh. By the way, remember I talked to you. Now I want you to talk to Pharaoh, and I want you to tell him to let my people go. Let them go. Well, so he does. He goes and talks to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh goes, no way, baby. No, I'm not letting him go. And he says, well, listen, God said for me to tell you to let my people go. And if you don't, there's going to be plagues. And plagues are not things, anything you want to raise your hand for. So Pharaoh's like, bah humbug, I don't really give a darn. Well, God releases these plagues, 10 plagues, and they go from bad, badder, worst, and worstest, right? And Moses stomps right in. He says, listen, God told you to let my people go. And Moses is like, okay, just get out of here. Just take everybody and just get out of Dodge. I've had it with you. Go, 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 go. So Moses gathers up all these Hebrew children, and there's about 1 million of them. I'll tell you more later. And they're getting ready to leave. And Moses says, hey, before you leave, I want you to go to all those Egyptians. You go knock on their door and you say, you give me all your silver and gold and clothes. You know what I thought? That was payback. Because you know, when you're a slave, you don't get paid. So they got payback. So they go marching out of Egypt and they decide to go the route of the Red Sea. And by the way, the Red Sea is not an ocean. It's like Lake Erie, Lake Tahoe. It's this massive lake. It's just massive. So they're going this way, and they were thinking, hey, you know, we're just going to go around it because we don't have any boats. So they're walking around it, and the next thing they know, they can hear, you know, the cavalry's coming. Here comes Pharaoh with his entire army and chariots and horses, and, you know, they're just right on their path. And, of course, you know, everybody's screaming and yelling and having a fit. God speaks to Moses, and he says, Moses, lift up your staff. And the lake or the Red Sea parts, right? You all know the story. And the children of Israel start marching through. They go through on this dry land, get to the other side. And I had this thought this morning during worship, and I thought, how many of you remember 9/11? I'm on a rabbit trail. I'll get back on the right one here. How many men of 9/11? I actually had a cousin in Manhattan, and they had to evacuate this city. And there's about 7 million people, I Googled that today, that live in Manhattan, New York City area. And lots of people did not leave. They just moved to different parts. But the majority, they're marching out of there, especially if you are a commuter. And they walked. And I remember hearing the story about my cousin calling my uncle. And she had to walk across the George Washington Bridge so my uncle could pick her up on the Jersey side. So, you know, I was thinking, this is like, there's actually the historians say there's about 2.5 million Jews that were Hebrew children that were walking through there. So they finally get through the other side. Okay, let me end the story. And then God says to Moses, put your staff down, and the water just crushes them. They're all killed. The horse and rider, you know that song in your Bible. They're just totally crushed, killed. Okay? And I'm thinking, like Moses, man, if all those things happen in my life, I got to go marching in. I saw this burning bush, and I saw this massive thing happen and all these people. You know, I might just kind of have a little pride, God complex going on, just maybe a little bit. Of course, none of you, because you're so humble. All right? Right? You know, I know it's God that did this. Okay, but you know. Okay. So, now we're in the wilderness. They've made it across. Pharaoh and all those guys are dead. And we don't know how long, if it took a month, 6 months, a year, but we are now in the wilderness. And at that time, or let me back up a little bit before, Moses, by the way, did you know he was married? Moses was married prior to this, and he had kids. And, you know, this plagues, 10 plagues are going to come. What would you do with your kids and your wife? I'd move them out of Dodge, okay? He moves them out of Dodge, and he sends them to his father-in-law's, Jethro. Jethro is a Midianite priest. He knows God. Okay, I'm going getting to where I want to go. Open up to Exodus. I'll finish my story. So he sends his family to Jethro. All right. Now the plagues are over and they're in the wilderness. And Moses sends for his wife and his kids. And Jethro comes along, of course, to bring them. All right. Exodus chapter 18. Rest of the story. Here we go. Pastor D, the storyteller. I love telling stories. So Moses and his wife and their kids are back, and Jethro's brought them back, and they're probably having dinner, just, you know, having a leg of lamb. I don't know what they ate. Oh, no, that's right. I know what they ate. Excuse me. Okay. So they all go to bed that night. You know, they go to bed that night, and they wake up. And Jethro sees this happen. Exodus chapter 18, verse 13. Okay? Exodus chapter 18, verse 13. They wake up the next morning, and Jethro... Ready? The next day, Moses took his seat to hear the people's disputes against each other. I didn't feel so bad when my kids were arguing, you know, so they got the same thing going on. They, the people, waited before him, Moses, from morning till evening. They, the people, waited from morning to evening. So what's happening is people are coming to this judgment seat, and it's really not a judgment, it's a counseling. They're coming to Moses for counseling. So all these people are coming to Moses from morning to night. And now, I told you there's 2.5 million people are coming to Moses to settle their disputes. All right? shoe. But at the end, how many of you remember when your kids were little and they, mommy, dad, mommy, this, and mommy, that, and they're just, you know, and you're trying to figure out who did what and counsel them and stuff. He's got 2.5 million Jews doing this. Now, how many of you how many of you hate waiting at the doctor's office for an hour? Anybody ever had that? Oh, the emergency room. Oh, Lord. Okay. Reasons not to go. Okay. But nobody likes waiting. And here you have, just imagine, from sunrise to sunset, Moses and all these people are coming to him and waiting to talk to him and waiting to talk to Moses and waiting to talk to Moses from sunrise to sunset. I'd be pulling my beard out, right? Okay, so listen to what the next verse. Here we go. Verse 14. When Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he asked, you love that question, I have a paraphrase one, but what are you really accomplishing here? Why are you trying to do all this alone while everyone stands around from morning till evening? You know what happened right there? That day, Jethro saw Moses' blind spot. Jethro saw Moses' blind spot. Okay, instantly, he's like, duh, buddy. Okay, he could see the blind spot, okay? And he's asking, Jethro asks Moses this question, and Moses gives the craziest answer. And I'm going, Moses, can't you see? Come on, Moses, can't you see your blind spot? And he doesn't, okay? And this is how we know he has his blind spot, because you can't see what you can't see. He couldn't see his blind spot, which was pride and a God complex, all right? Jump down to verse 15. Moses replied, remember Jethro asked him this question, Moses, what on tarnations are you doing? Can't you see? So Moses replied, because the people come to me, right, to get a ruling from God. When a dispute arises, they come to me, and I'm the one who settles the cases between the quarreling parties. I inform the people of God's decree and gives them their instructions. Okay. This guy is so blind. Did you hear the me, I, pride. Okay, little God thing going on here. He is so blind, okay? Now, if I were Moses, I would have said, oh my gosh, Jethro, I am so frustrated. I got counseling appointments set up for the next 2 years. I'm frustrated with these people. This is like ridiculous. And they're getting frustrated and they're worn out. But no, Moses says, no. He's like, And listen, you can't see what you can't see. You can't see what you can't see. And that pride and that, thing, he couldn't see it. He can see it. So Joseph, here we go with Jethro, verse 17. I love this father-in-law. This is not good, Moses' father-in-law exclaimed. You're going to wear yourself out and the people too. This is not good. This job is too big. This job is too heavy a burden for you to handle all by yourself. Now listen to me and let me give you a word of advice. May God be with you, may God bless you. He's going to bless you if you do this. You should continue to be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him, all right? And basically he was saying, hey, you should go pray about this. You should go into your prayer closet and pray about these disputes. You should do that, all right? And then what does he say? Verse 20. Teach them God's decrees and give them instructions. Show them how to conduct their lives. Okay. So here's Jethro just basically saying, hey, Moses, this isn't working. You need to be in prayer. You need to go and hear from me. Yes, but you need to pray and hear from me. And then you also need to be teaching these people. Be a good teacher, okay? But you can't counsel all of them. You can't do this alone. And Moses is still stuck on his blind spot. He's still like, yeah, but I hear from God and I. He's still stuck there, all right? But he gets better, let me tell you. All righty. Verse 21. But select, this is Jethro giving him the good wisdom and all that. He says, but select from all the people some capable, honest men who fear God and hate bribes. Appoint them as leaders over the groups of 1,000, 100, 50, and 10. Guys, great leaders delegate. Everybody say delegate. If you're a parent, you better be delegating. If you have a job, find someone to delegate. I'm working on this. This is an area I just constantly work on. But if you never delegate, you know what happens? You are stopping the people around you who God has gifted and given them abilities from growing into their gifts. So you should delegate. Don't ever feel bad about delegating, all right? And you might have to come alongside them while they're in the learning thing. But it's a bad thing not to delegate. And, you know, I got to thinking about our grow groups. By the way, grow groups are going to be restarting up in September. We're going to have some new ones. Some are still continuing. But, you know, I thought, I could run around and teach all these grow groups. But no, that's bad. Because the people that are that have these grow groups, they've got gifts and talents and they're just flourishing and growing into them and doing a darn good job, all right? But can you imagine me running around every night of the week going to a grow group and teaching it? Okay, you burn yourself out. Okay, that's sort of Moses there, all right? So, hey, listen, if you are interested in just hosting, be a host. That means you are the home that opens the door. Go sign up for one. If you want to be the person that brings the snack, go sign up for that. If you want to be the person that just coordinates the teaching, go sign up for that, all right? But it's real easy to go to a grow group, and they're just amazing things, okay? So basically, I've learned I can't do everything. I have to remind myself I can't do everything. Many of you remind me, Pastor D, step away, okay? And I'm like, what? Okay, all right. But the key is delegating, and you want to delegate to people so they can grow in their gifts. Everybody say, I have gifts? I'm going to use them, so I'm going to do some stuff. Okay, praise the Lord. All right, verse 24. This is the tipping moment for Moses. How is he going to answer this? This is his tipping moment. Verse 24. Moses listened to his father-in-law's advice and followed his suggestions. Ching! All right, that's the tipping moment. He's going to do it, all right? He chose capable men from all of Israel and appointed them as leaders over the people. He put them in charge of groups of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. These men were always available to solve the people's common disputes. They brought the major ones, that's what should be going on, cases to Moses, but they took care of the small matters themselves. Verse 27, soon after this, Moses said goodbye to his father-in-law who returned to his own land. Okay, so I read that, and this is my interpretation. He's like, okay, Pops, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's time for you to go, all right? Because I can only take one blind spot revelation. So please go, come back next year, okay? That's just me, okay? That was just me just kind of figuring that. Okay, but the part I want you to see is Moses finally saw his blind spot, yes? And he agreed about the blind spot, and then he acted on it. He changed, all right? And he grew, and the people that he delegated grew, and they weren't frustrated waiting from morning to night. Isn't that great? All right, so you can't see what you can't see until you know what it is, what your blind spot is. So I came up with four tipping point moments so you can see your blind spots ready. And you listen, if you would do these four, you will see your blind spots and then you can grow, right? And then you can just flourish. Okay, number one, if you're taking notes because you're all so smarter than a fifth grader, ready? Number one, accept you have blind spots. Accept you have a blind spot. You know, sometimes it's like Moses. It was really hard for him to accept he had a blind spot. Anybody ever have a hard time accepting you have a blind spot? Why? Me? What? Okay. But years ago, I'm in my early 30s, and we're watching TV. Anybody know what the rabbit ears are on the top of your TV? We had those antennas on top of there. And I'm sitting there, and I'm going, hey, Jack, can you adjust those bunny ears or those knobs? Because this picture is not good. It's not clear. And he said, ha, 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 you need glasses. What? No. So I said, no, just adjust those bunny ears. And there's three knobs, you know, fix them. And he goes, no, honey, you need to go get your eyes checked. So I did, and I come in telling the doctors, I'm working on it. I'm telling him, hey, I just need glasses to see the TV. Don't you love, you're so brilliant, dude. You're telling this doctor, I just need this. So he checks my eyes, and I said, hey, listen, I just need glasses, so just give me these things. Put. And he says, no, baby. No, he didn't say that, but no, ma'am. You need glasses. Keep them on your nose for everything. I was like, what? Okay, I had a hard time. But listen, you have to accept sometimes your blind spots, all right? Because if I were to go for my driver's license a couple years later, without those glasses, I would not have a driver's license. So I, for all you that are, you know, yes, I'm praying over my eyes, okay, I do, okay? But I had to accept I had a problem, all right? And you, same with you. You have to accept that you have blind spots. And do you notice I said plural? You might have more than one. Your spouse will go, yeah, babes, you got more than one. All right? So you need to, number one, if you're going to have a tipping moment where God can take you and grow you and get you up over things, you have to accept that you have blind spots. All right? You have blind spots. All righty? Let's see. Here's a good scripture. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. You know, and while you're getting over there, I was thinking blind spots. Where are blind spots, okay? It's not the blind spot test, but blind spots in your relationships. Blind spots in your finances, blind spots at how things are going on in life. You might just have some blind spots, and you need to accept them, and then we'll tell you what to do with them, all right? Romans chapter 12, verse 3. This is the Apostle Paul writing this. Because of the privilege and the authority God has given me, I give you this warning. Warning, 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 warning. Ready? Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluations of yourself, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given you. Now, this is an amazing scripture, and the text really has to do about everybody who's a believer. God has given you gifts, and you gifts, and you gifts. And your gifts are different than those gifts and different than those gifts. So it's really about the body and the different gifts. But there's a principle here. It's like, hey, you all need to realize you are not perfect. Okay? You are not perfect, and you need God to talk into your life, and you might need people to talk into your life because you got some blind spots, and you can't see what you can't see till you know what your blind spots are. All right. You know, what's kind of crazy about this is the Apostle Paul wrote this. This is the Apostle Paul. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and he had a huge blind spot going on. Yep. Probably had a couple of them, but I'm only going to talk about one. Okay. All right. He had this perfection blind spot. Like, you get one chance, baby, and if you blow it, you're off. None of you are like that. Right? Okay. Now, that's how he was in the beginning of his ministry, this perfection thing. One chance, you're over. But, you know, he grew as God showed him his blind spot, and he grew, and he's just an amazing. But in the beginning of his ministry, he was hanging out with Barnabas, and they would go to country to country to country, and they would tell people who had never heard the name of Jesus. They didn't know what that was, and they would tell them who Jesus was, how he died for them, and they would receive Jesus. So they would go to one city, and the next city, one country, next country, okay? Paul and Barnabas had this amazing dream team of volunteers with them doing it. Because you know what? We delegate and we bring people alongside, right? So the one guy that they had working, who was amazing, his name was John Mark. John Mark. John Mark was with them, and they're just having a great old time going from city to city telling people, hey, Jesus is the Son of God and he is God on this earth and da 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 da. Okay. And one day, John Mark comes up and he goes, you know, guys, I think I need to take a break from ministry, and I need to go home and hang out with my family. Okay, Paul gets ticked. I mean, really ticked. What? You're quitting. All right. So John Mark disappears, and we don't know how long, but later on, we read in Paul's life, at the end of his life, he said, bring John Mark with you. He's talking to, I think it was Silas. Bring John Mark with you. He is very important to the ministry. Okay, so somewhere, Paul saw he had a blind spot. And somehow, okay, back up here. So John Mark comes back after he went on his little vacation, you know, spiritually get built up, you know, we just don't hang at the beach. And he comes, and the first person he sees is Barnabas. And Barnabas is like, oh my gosh, John Mark's back. This is going to be so cool. Man, the team, we got the team going here. And Barnabas runs over to Paul, and he goes, Paul, guess who's back? John Mark's back. And Paul's like, nah, he quit on us. We're done. We're not touching him. There was such a division going on. And such a, John Mark is over here, and he's like, what? Okay, so we got Paul and Barnabas. They're going at it. Come on, you should bring them back. And so much so did they have such a disagreement that they split their ministries. And Barnabas said, fine. Your kid says that, you know. Fine. I'll take John Mark with me. And I'm going to go here, you go there. All right? So he was, you know, and so... Again, Paul is really ticked, but later on in his ministry, God must open up the blind spot because he says, bring him. So guys, this is the Apostle Paul that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. If he's got a blind spot, you think you might have one. Yeah. Maybe two. Okay. All righty. So you have to accept you have blind spots. You just have to accept them. All right. Number two. Okay. Here we go. Got to move on here. Oh, hallelujah. You have to ask God to reveal your blind spots. Ask God to reveal your blind spots. Ask God to tell you what they are. How many of you ever played laser tag? Okay. I've only done it about a half dozen times. It always cracks me up. The person that you think is so sweet and innocent ends up by being the killer. I remember the first time I played it, I'm like, whoa. I thought she was just a sweet thing. She was just, you know, doing it. But, and these laser tag places, they have, what's it, black lights or ultraviolet lights? What are they? Same difference? No, there's probably a difference. Okay. And I remember going one time, I think with Jack. I can't remember who it was. And probably it was Jack. And he gets under the black light, and I see all these grease spots on his shirt. You know, the burgers on the drive. But I know, I washed that shirt. And it wasn't dirty, but what does that black light show? The imperfections, okay? God wants to show our imperfections so we can grow. We can make it, we can see it. We can make a decision not to keep falling in the hole, falling in the hole, falling in the hole, all right? And he does it so sweetly. He is so sweetly. You know, I was reading a book yesterday and I'm listening, I'm just reading this book, and God just so sweetly is talking to me about an area in my life that I need to up it. It was just so sweet. It wasn't, bam, bam, you're so pitiful, okay? So here's a good prayer, Psalm 139. This is a good prayer to ask God. Ask God. 139 verse 23. Here we go. Search me, O God. And know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you. Point out my imperfections. God, point out my blind spots. Do you see that? Point out anything that offends you. Lead me along the path of everlasting life. Woo! So you can ask God, God, show me my blind spots. Show me my blind spots. Show me what they are. And he will put his ultraviolet light on you, or black light. I'm going to figure out what that one is. So number one, you have to accept you have blind spots. Number two, you have to ask God. Ask God, all right? Number three, allow people to help you see your blind spots. Now, there's some warnings before this. But allow other people to help you see your blind spots. Now, one, if you do that, you have to be able to accept it. You know, somebody's going to come in and tell you your blind spots. You have to be able to. And sometimes that's pretty tough. That's pretty tough. Usually, whatever happens to me, I'm like, what? Okay. But you have to allow people to do this. Number two, if you are the somebody that's going to say, hey, Angie, this is your blind spot, you have to love that person, respect that person, and have a very, 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 very good relationship with them. Okay? Case in point. A couple years ago, I'm with visiting my daughter in San Francisco, and we're walking down this hill, and there's this young couple holding a baby, just cute little baby, probably 6 months old. And the lady is smoking a cigarette, blowing smoke. And my little daughter, no names mentioned because I don't want to guess who it is. But she goes up to this lady right in her face and she goes in her hula hoop space, "Hey, don't you know that secondhand smoke is dangerous for this baby?" I was like, "Grab her, get out of here." Oh my God. Like, what? And her husband's like, "Ugh." Okay, so you got to know Joy. She may be my littlest one, but she is big, big. She loves big, and she's passionate big. And you always want to make sure you're on her team. Okay? But, okay, so what happened wrong here is she didn't have a relationship. She probably could have gotten her legs knocked out, right? Okay, so you have to understand that you allow people that are closest to you, that you have a relationship, that you love. Sometimes you think everybody loves me. Not always, okay? So you make sure the love is going both ways here, all right? And you can randomly have a random, you know, praise the Lord. Praise God. All right, where are we on number? Oh, yeah, okay. So allow people to speak into your life, and sometimes it's a random person, not Joy. That wasn't random. That was not a good thing. But you know, when Jethro spoke to Moses, it was just kind of a happening thing. So it just randomly happened. It was just like right out there. Okay. But again, you can't say this over and over. Don't send any hate mail, but you have to have the relationship. And usually it's your spouse. Okay. And be wise enough to pick a good day. Not when they've had the day from hell, they come in the door and you just say, you didn't see this. Okay. All right, here's a good scripture. You all know this. It's Proverbs 27:17. Proverbs 27:17. You can write it down. Iron sharpens iron. How many of you have heard that? Okay. And a friend sharpens a friend. Okay. So what does it mean? That means God is allowing a friend to speak into your life to say you've got a blind spot. That's okay. God is using that friend that says, "Hey, now, who's I was talking to?" This one pastor gets all these emails of, like, they think they can speak from people in the congregation. They just send them emails. "I don't like your sermon. Rah, rah, rah. You should do this. You should do that." And he told me the funniest thing. He says, "The majority of criticism is on how he dresses." It's like, it's the goofiest thing. Okay, I just said that for whatever. All right. Okay. Allow people to speak into your life to help you see your blind spot. Here's another one. You can do, so it could be random, or you could ask for a critique. Notice that last word? A critique. That's a really nice word, okay? So, you know, Jack and I learned this in counseling, that periodically we'd go, "Hey, how am I doing in our marriage?" And when the person gets awkwardly silent, you know what? They are trying to think of a nice way of saying your blind spot, right? And if you're really smart, you will listen, okay? And sometimes your feelings get hurt, all right? Praise God, but you need to accept. So allow people to, you know, you ask them. You ask for it. I did this one time. They asked, you ask for it, they'll tell you. So you should ask, but I've learned to be a little sweeter, a lot more sugar on it. But ask and let them critique how you're doing. You should do that in your marriage. Say, "How am I doing in marriage?" Write that down. It should be your dinner conversation tonight. How am I doing? Okay. All right, here's a good scripture. Proverbs 27. Stay in Proverbs. Proverbs 27:6. You know, it's like, how am I doing and can I do better? Listen, you will win brownie points if you do this. Okay. Proverbs 27:6. Wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. Whew! You think kisses will be good. But no. Listen. Wounds from a sincere friend. Wounds that when a sincere friend, that love relationships, it's both ways. You respect each other. It's the right day. They're all ready for that. It may hurt a little bit, but I'm telling you what. It's the only way you're going to grow. So people, you got to have people in your life. You know, I counsel people and they are so isolated. And they get goofy. I get goofy. I get weird. So I have two really, really, really close friends. I have y'all friends here, but I have two really, really close friends. And man, they have spoken to my life just a couple months ago. This went on, and I was like kind of hurt. And she was really nice about it. And she says, you ought not to be saying this. You know, you're not doing blah, blah, blah. And I was, but you know what? I knew that this person loved me, valued me, and was only wanting the best for me. And I was so blind, I needed someone to tell me. I had a blind spot. So everybody say blind spots. Praise the Lord. So one, you have to accept you have your blind spot, right? You have to ask God, and you have to allow people to help you see. All right. One other way that people might help you see you have a blind spot is at work. Anybody ever have one of those reviews? Yeah? Yeah? Anybody have those reviews? Okay. Performance reviews? I was just talking to my son, and he's like, oh, crud. And I'm like, you know, sitting on the other chair, I'm sitting here thinking, if I'm an employer, these performance reviews, you should always do the plus, minus, plus. Start with something nice, wedge something, and then end with something nice. So he was telling me about his performance review, and he said, you know, they said I was doing this, this, and this. No, actually, it was joy. And then they told her, well, you know, you're a little harsh, a little cool. and Sherry and Joy and I are laughing. We go, yeah, Joy. And she's like, yeah, I know. I've got to work on it. But listen, those are allowing people to speak into your life to show you your blind spots so you can grow and do better. All right? Praise God, Pastor D. I'm just loving this. This is awesome. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, last one. Number four of the tipping points. Ready? Tipping points that will help you see your blind spot so you can grow and God can work in your life. You can get out of a place that's not a good place or go to a higher place. I like going higher and higher. Okay, ready? Last one. Accept. It's kind of similar to some of the other ones, but accept constructive criticism. Accept. That's the key word. Receive. Accept. Accept. Okay? Which means somebody's going to say you have a blind spot. Someone's going to walk up. But wait a minute. This is somebody that you have a relationship with, somebody that you love, you value. You see it both ways here. You know, you esteem them. Okay? But you have to be willing to accept you have a blind spot. So, you know, I said this past couple weeks ago, Sherry and I were in Lancaster for this Northeast Rhema Ministers Retreat. It's so much fun. And in the 10 years that I've really been going, I've gotten to meet some great people, and I call them throughout the weeks and the months and stuff, maybe not super, every week and something like that. But we were hanging out, this one couple, they pastor a church up north, and we were talking about our green days. You know what that means? That was when we were young in ministry. Green, didn't know what we were doing. And this couple, they're pastoring about 25 years. So we were kind of laughing about the things we've learned in life. And this pastor said he did a review with all his employees. It's a very large church. So they had employees' reviews, and then the employees did a review on the pastor. I don't know if I'm ready for that, but anyway. I only have one employee, two if I count. Anyway. So Pastor Joe, he's like, this one person, and he kept seeing it. He says, you know, you're very cold. You're not very warm. So he went to his wife, and he says, hey, Jeannie, what do you mean? She goes, well, you know, compared to so-and-so. And he's like, oh, man, that's the lady that's the nicest lady in the whole church. Even when she corrects you, she's got a smile and makes you feel like you won $1 million. And his wife says, yeah. And the problem is, it wasn't, yeah, it's a little cold. He's just really businesslike. Let's get it done. And he said, people said they felt intimidated. They felt intimidated by him. So he was like, that's it with these stupid reviews. We're never doing them again. This was like his first 5 years of ministry and stuff. And his wife says, oh, no, honey, we're going to keep doing these reviews. And they did. And you know, listen, there's different personalities. I'm not making excuses. There's different personalities. Okay. But when somebody that you value and you start listening to them, you should be able to accept it. Okay. You might have to take a couple deep breaths. And say, yeah, I accept this. Somebody is giving me light in my blind spot. So that's really good. Praise the Lord. Last scripture, Proverbs 12:15. Proverbs 12:15. A fool thinks he needs no advice. A fool thinks he doesn't have a blind spot. Okay. So a fool thinks he needs no advice, but a wise man listens to others. Okay. I love reading Proverbs. Actually, this summer, I just spent like a whole month just reading over and over and over. Just God just led me in there. And you would not believe all the times you see that word fool. Fool, fool, fool. And every time I read that, I think, I don't want to be that. Right? I don't want to be a fool. I don't want to be a fool. I want to be that wise person. Okay? So the reason why I said that scripture is, you know, the wisdom of God and having wisdom brought into your life, praise the Lord. That means I'm going to have to listen to the critiques and then I'm going to decide, you know, to do something with it. So, question, tipping points. Got to accept you have them. Number two, you got to ask God to bring them to light. Number three, allow people to bring those the ultraviolet light into you, all right, okay, and then accept it. That means Moses accepted the critique from his father-in-law. You know, sometimes I'm like, yeah, and you don't do anything with it. You'll know when it just hits you, like, oh, you're right, God. My friend a couple months ago, I was like, oh, man, you're right. So I was going to accept it, and I am working on that critique, that actually good adjustment, good light on my blind spot. Praise God. Guys, we have a Father God who loves us. And he has great plans in your life. He's dished out greatness, called you to great things, deposited the fruits of the Spirit in your life. He's given you everything you need for life and godliness. These are all these scriptures. He's made you the head and not the tail, an overcomer. But sometimes we just, you know, keep falling in the hole and we have a blind spot. And how many of you want to get over the top? So it's time to get really quiet and pray this prayer. So this is your assignment this week. Okay? God, I confess I have blind spots. God, show me my blind spots. Bring people into my life, Father. I prefer just you. But Lord, bring people into my life that I love, and they love me, okay? And I will receive. A wise man receives correction. I am not a fool, and I will make adjustments in life because you love me, called me to a great place to do things for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, I had fun doing this, magic eye and all that good stuff. Why don't we stand up, and I'm going to pray. Hallelujah. Just praise God.